Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back. With me, Mariati, we will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listeners, here is the news, read by Hernitawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news, first day headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes for free halal certification for micro-businesses. Ministry of Environment and Forestry establishes 7 new indigenous forests. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope for free halal certificate for micro-businessmen, including street food vendors such as meatball and chicken noodle sellers. The president said after a mass gathering at Delta Mas Square in Hegar Mukti village of Bekasi district on Sunday, March 3rd, the president admitted that micro-businessmen have asked the authority to provide halal certificate for their products. Other micro-businessmen, street vendors, also seek for halal certificate. On the draft government regulation on halal product assurance, President Joko Widodo said it has been discussed by the government. According to the president, halal certificate ideally could be issued in one day. Any issue regarding to halal certification of the products could reduce its turnover by 50%. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry has established 7 new indigenous forests until February 2019. These indigenous forests are located in 4 regencies and 1 city. The indigenous forests comprise Kasepuhan Cirompang and Kasepuhan Pasirerih in Lebak Regency, Muda Ayek Tebat Benewa Indigenous Forest in Pagar Alam City, Temua and Radet Indigenous Forest in Bengkayang Regency. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya in Jakarta on Sunday said that since the independence of Indonesia, for the first time in 2016, the indigenous forests were handed over to indigenous people who have been living in the forest for generations. Minister Siti Nurbaya told that the indigenous forests have become new history in the management of forests in Indonesia. Vice Chairman of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR, Hidayat Nur Wahid said, that democracy is not bid'ah, which means things that are not based on Islam. It was remarked by Hidayat Nur Wahid at the socialization of 4 pillars of MPR in Jakarta on Sunday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Hidayat stated that Indonesian people must realize democracy is not a violation of Islam. Hidayat called on Indonesian people to use their voting rights. Despite there are still some people who consider democracy as violation of Islam, Hidayat Nur Wahid also reminded people not abstain in the upcoming elections because abstention will give negative impact for Indonesia. So far, MPR has conducted socialization of its 4 pillars with several components of society. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan pledged that his side would try to realize Qatar's investment in Indonesia in a bid to support Indonesia's tourism sector. Despite the Memorandum of Understanding between the two countries were signed last year, the commitment to realizing the cooperation has not been achieved until at present. It was remarkable by Minister Luhut in Jakarta on Sunday, March 3, as quoted by Republika Online. Minister Luhut elaborated that the tourism investment conducted by Qatar Investment Authority would be centered not only in Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara, but also other tourism destinations which have been prioritized by the Indonesian government, such as Lake Toba in North Sumatra and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara. Qatar is committed to investing $500 million in Indonesia. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian national figure Mahfud MD called on Indonesian citizens to vote for the presidential candidate in the 2019 elections rationally, not emotionally. It was said by Mahfud MD in a national dialogue event with the Association of Madura and West Kalimantan People in Pontianak on Sunday, March 3rd, as reported by Antara. According to Mahfud MD, human beings are not perfect. Mahfud MD called on citizens to vote for the candidates who can represent the aspirations of people and not bring any negative impacts for Indonesia. Mahfud also reminded people to not abstain in the upcoming elections because their votes can determine the change of Indonesia. In addition, Mahfud MD reminded Madurese people to maintain the integrity of Indonesian nation. Indonesian Human Development and Culture Minister Puan Maharani gave her support for the preservation of sarung as one of the official customs of Indonesia. Minister Puan, in her press statement received by Antara News in Jakarta on Sunday, said that sarung would be one of Indonesian traditional customs which can be worn at least once in a week. According to Minister Puan, sarung is the cultural heritage of Indonesia, and each region in Indonesia has its kind. By wearing sarung, Indonesian people contribute to preserving the cultural heritage of Indonesia. In addition to preserving culture, it can support the economy of Indonesian small and medium enterprises. The last item. The Tagana or Rescue Team Goes to School program has been implemented massively at a number of schools in Indonesia. It was said by Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in Jakarta on Sunday, March 3rd. As quoted by Antara, Minister of Social Affairs said, the movement has been massively implemented since it was officially launched by Indonesian President Joko Widodo on February 18, 2019. According to President Joko Widodo, Indonesian people must stay alert in facing disaster because Indonesia's position is located at the ring of fire. This makes Indonesia vulnerable to some disasters including tsunami, earthquake, flood, and landslide. Tagana Goes to School program has been implemented in some provinces and cities across Indonesia, such as Bangka Belitung, Sumedang and Tasikmalaya in West Java, Ponorogo and Tuban in East Java, and Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For today's topic is Mount Merapi erupts again. Mount Merapi erupted again and released a hot cloud burst on Saturday night with a sliding distance of 1.3 kilometers. The Center for Investigation and Development of Geological Disaster Technology recorded 9 times hot clouds and avalanches coming out of Mountain Merapi located in the special region of Yogyakarta, Central Java. Mountain Merapi is one of the most active volcanoes in Indonesia. Since 1548, this mountain has erupted 68 times. According to the records, Mountain Merapi erupts every 2 to 5 years and bigger eruption occurred around 10 to 15 years. The eruption in 1872 was considered the strongest one in the record of the modern era of geology. The big eruption in 2010 was estimated to also have the same power. The eruption in 1930, which destroyed 13 villages and killed around 1,400 people was the biggest eruption so far. In October 2010, Mountain Merapi erupted with a hot cloud and heart boomed. This was the biggest eruption in the last 100 years and resulted in 337 casualties, dozens of villages damaged, and hundreds of thousands of people evacuated. Until now, the Geological Disaster Research and Development Center still maintains the status of Mountain Merapi at a level 2 or alert. Nevertheless, for the time being, the local residents are encouraged not to carry out activities within a 3-kilometer radius of Mountain Merapi. In addition, hiking activities are suspended temporarily, except for the purpose of investigation and research related to the disaster mitigation. For information, there are 4 volcano statuses, namely normal or basic level, which means that the volcano does not experience visual, seismic, and volcanic events. The Nelora level 2 indicates an increase in volcanic activity. At this level, seismic and volcanic activity begins to emerge, and activity increases above the normal level. Furthermore, alert or level 3 indicates that the volcano has intensified seismic activity. There are visual changes in crater activity that can progress to eruption. The last beware or level 4 indicates that the volcano is to immediately erupt and in a critical condition. This situation can cause disaster. The opening eruption starts with a hiss and steam and has the opportunity to continue approximately 24 hours. Of course, the eruption of Mountain Merapi is a natural process that cannot be avoided, as happened in 2010. The local residents are expected to improve awareness of the dangers of lava rain, especially when there is rain around the peak of Mountain Merapi. In addition, they must also obey the appeals and warnings submitted by the regional government and disaster mitigation agencies. Vigilance is very important to minimize the unexpected risk. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History. Well, we start for an event on March 4, 1977 on earthquake in Prancea, Romania. On March 4, 1977, earthquake occurred in Prancea, Romania, and it was felt throughout Balkan. The earthquake was 7.2 Richter scale, and its epicenter was located in Prancea province in the depth of 94 kilometers. The earthquake killed around 1,570 people and injured more than 11,000 people. Around 30,000 buildings were damaged, and total loss was estimated around $2 billion. Most damage occurred in the Romanian capital, Bucharest. And the next event was in 1980. Robert Mugabe became the first black-skinned prime minister in Zimbabwe. Nationalist leader Robert Mugabe was elected as prime minister of Zimbabwe on March 4, 1980. African National Union Party of Zimbabwe, ZANU-PF, led under Mugabe, succeeded to gain 57 parliamentary seats from 80 seats that were contested. His main competitor, Joshua Nkomo, was only able to win 26. The majority victory made by Mugabe automatically be elected as the first black skin who became prime minister of Zimbabwe. And the last event is that in 2012, Vladimir Putin won again general election in Russia. On March 4, 2012, Putin won Russian presidential election 2012 in the first round with 63.6% votes. He has become president of Russia since May 7, 2012. Previously, Putin became prime minister from 1999 until 2000 and president from 2000 until 2008. He was re-elected as prime minister from 2008 2012, but there was an allegation of cheating the number of votes. Opposition groups accused Putin and the United Russia Party to commit cheating. Alt reports for election transparency was published, including using webcam at 14 places. The number of votes is criticized by Russian opposition and international observers of European Security and Cooperation Organization because of its unusual procedures. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the first song entitled Terpesona, sung by Glenn Fredly featuring Audi. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Today's edition, we will give you information on My Indonesia with the topic Zero Tariff for Indonesian Import Commodities from Palestine, read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia Day is Zero Tariff for Indonesian Import Commodities from Palestine. The Indonesian government officially has started applying zero tariffs on Palestinian imported commodities since Thursday, February 28, 2019. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita, Palestinian Ambassador to Indonesia Suhair Al-Asun, and Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Abdurrahman Muhammad Fajir held a meeting with Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice President Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday related to the start of the tariff elimination. Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita in his statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, as released by Antara News Agency, stated that in the initial stage, the decision was applied to dates and olive oil. He said that Vice President Yusuf Kalla also emphasized that zero tariffs are applied to other Palestinian commodities without feasibility studies like general trade agreements with other countries. According to Minister Enggartia Stolokita, the application of zero tariffs shows the strong commitment of the Indonesian government in supporting the strengthening of social life and capacity of the Palestinian economy, and is expected to increase the competitiveness of Palestinian products. He also explained that the provision of the elimination of tariffs for the two Palestinian products had been active since February 21, 2019, marked by the sending of diplomatic note by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs to Palestine. Thus, the Indonesian people are expected to be able to enjoy Palestinian dates when Ramadan arrives. Minister Enggartia Stolokita also emphasized that this step is also an important momentum to improve Indonesia-Palestine bilateral trade relations. Meanwhile, Palestinian Ambassador to Indonesia Suhair Al-Asun welcomed the long-awaited decision of the Indonesian government. He also submitted a list of other commodities which are considered potential to be given tariff elimination in Indonesia. Data from the Central Statistics Agency BPS shows that the total trade between Indonesia and the Palestine in 2018 reached $3.5 million. Palestine is the Indonesian 164th export destination. The main export commodities to Palestine include coffee, tea, pasta, bread, parfum, and soap. Meanwhile, Palestine is the 162nd source of import for Indonesia, with this as the main import commodity. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jalan.
That was the second song entitled Jika, sung by Melly Goeslaw featuring Ari Lasso. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 335 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to visit and get to know more about Masjid Agung Batam, or in English means Batam Great Mosque in Riau. Stay tuned. Masjid Agung Batam, or also called Batam Great Mosque, is located in Batam Center, that is the downtown of the government of Batam. The dome of the mosque has a unique shape. Because of the uniqueness and the beauty of its building, the mosque becomes not only worship place, but also tourism attraction in Batam. The location of the Masjid Agung Batam is easy to visit. From Hang Nadim Airport, you can directly take taxi. But if you want to go by public transportation, you can get on Damri bus to Batu Aji or Jodoh and get off at Kepri Mall. From Kepri Mall bus shelter, take Trans Batam bus to Batam Center, then get off at the mosque shelter. From the shelter, you only need to walk a few steps to Masjid Agung Batam. Masjid Agung Batam, or Batam Great Mosque, was initially built in 1999 and finished in 2001. The building is Malayan motif and architecture of the mosque is categorized unique because the mosque does not have pillar, so that its room looks spacious. The mosque is equipped with high tower around 66 meters. Its dome has a shape pyramid and divided into three parts. It has vertical perspective towards one point above as a relation symbol between human beings and the God. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
Jalinan cerita. tak mungkin tak begini. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan salah. Saling pandang dan tak akan lebih lagi. Aku dirimu dirinya tak akan pernah mengerti tentang suratan. Aku dirimu dirinya tak rasa bila sadari cinta takkan.
Just listened to the third song entitled Aku Dirimu Dirinya, sung by Kahitna. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is di restoran or at the rest. Next is a conversation about di restoran or in English at the restaurant. Tony and his friend Haru at a restaurant. They order some foods. As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Enak. Enak. In English, delicious. Paling enak. Most delicious. Makanan apa yang paling enak di sini? Makanan apa yang paling enak di sini? In English, what is the most delicious food here? Apakah ada yang lain? Apakah ada yang lain? In English, are there anything else? Ayam bakar. Ayam bakar. in English, grilled chicken. Saya pesan sate. Saya pesan sate. In English, I order sate. Yang paling terkenal. Yang paling terkenal. In English, the most famous. Restoran. Restoran. In English, restaurant. Paling murah di sini. Paling murah di sini. In English, cheapest here. To know about the best food or the most delicious food at restaurant, you can ask waitress, makanan apa yang paling terkenal di sini? In English, what is the most recommended food here? Or, restoran mana yang paling murah di sini? In English, which restaurant is the cheapest here? So you can use the word paling to mentioning the most from others, such as paling murah, in English the cheapest, paling tinggi, the highest, paling enak, the most delicious, paling bagus, the best. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow. For more interesting topics, sampai jumpa.
That was Awal Yang Indah, sung by Tere. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 335 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present you to a Kroncong song entitled Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam, which literally means South Bandung at night. The song was created by an Indonesian famous composer, Ismail Marzuki. Bandung is an area in West Java, like the title. This song tells about South Bandung at night. The beauty of Bandung at night has inspired Ismail Marzuki to describe it in his song composition. The lyrics are written like poetry, such as Laksana Putri Lenggang Kencana Duduk Murung Menanti Kekasih. Many Indonesian kroncong singers have covered this song, such as Kina Sadeli. Well, listener, here is Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Kina Sadeli.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau satu terkasih. Sinar matamu tersimpan kekayaan batinmu. Oh, di dalam senyummu rasa kalbu mengalun bening menggetarkan. Kini dirimu yang selalu bertata di benakku, dan aku kan mengiringi bersama.
Senyum dengan tulus cintanya terasa berbeda.
Listeners, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice_of_Indonesia, Twitter @VOIIndonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.